Winston Churchill was once asked by a Frenchman why Britain had not been more active at the beginning of the Second World War. And the implication in the question was that if Britain had been more active, France would not have fallen. Churchill's response was a question. Do you know anything about lobsters? Hands up, anybody who knows anything about lobsters. I can only tell you one thing, they're absolutely delicious to eat. But there was Churchill saying to this Frenchman, do you know anything about lobsters? No, said the man. Well, said Churchill, if you're given the chance to find out more about them, take it. And he went on to inform his French inquisitor that at certain points in their life, lobsters lose their protective shell. And at those times, the lobster looks to find a crevice in the rocks, and when he's found it, he goes into the crevice and waits there patiently until his new shell has had time to grow. Then, as soon as it is ready, the lobster sallies out again into the deep waters to become the fighter that his nature makes him. There are times to draw back, times when it is wiser not to attack. You attack only when you are ready and prepared. And we have a modern example of that. For the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, we've been given an intimation in the news or in the newspapers that the Ukraine is going to launch a spring offensive. We're almost out of spring, and still there has been no offensive. And one has to consider that perhaps they aren't quite ready or don't quite have all the equipment they would need. I am telling you in the dark, says Jesus, what you must repeat in broad daylight. What you have heard from me in private, said Jesus, you must shout from the rooftops. Be prepared. Be ready. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, once said that the church was the only organization that exists primarily for those who do not belong. Think about that. The church for those people who don't belong. In other words, the church exists for the benefit of the people in God's world in their need and who have no understanding or knowledge of God. Shout it, tell it, live it. A man tells how he dreamt that he was being shown around a museum in heaven. There he was shown the feathers from a sparrow's wing, a portion of a fishing net, some thorns, a nail from a cross, and a coin, tiny coin, which was considered to be the widow's mite. the gentleman asked the curator, "Have you by any chance a basin and a towel?" "Oh no," said the curator, "I'm afraid not. You see, they are still in use." I'm not sure that the meaning behind that is that you and I should go into the street and wash people's feet. But clearly, washing people's feet was a lowly, lowly thing to do. And could it be that those of us who have an understanding of faith are not prepared to go as low as to wash somebody's feet? The church, a place where people should be encouraged to come in, and those who are in should be desperate to get out, to show to people what we've heard over and over again, that God's love is eternal. Does the picture of the Christian church that you have in your mind, does it match what you know of the church of today? And if it's not, then it's because perhaps we're resting in a crevice, waiting for new strength, or strength will allow us to go out into the world to face the opposition that we undoubtedly would meet. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If you are going out in my name, then you will find opposition." And Jesus does not hide the fact. He says to his disciples, "I am sending you out." And in the same breath, he tells the disciples of his day, "Be prepared. Be prepared for all the opposition that you will have to face. Opposition from the state. The state will tell you religion has no part to play in politics. Absolute nonsense. The state has a place in life. The church is the giver of life. And they should be as one to ensure that all, old and young, fit and not so fit, that all should have the care given to them from the church and indeed from society. Opposition, said Jesus, from the state. Also, he said, opposition from the church, from those of your own faith. My first lecture in Old Testament at Glasgow University, the first week of being a student again, doing a divinity degree. The lecture was Old Testament theology, and it was delivered by Professor Robert Davidson, who also later became a moderator of the General Assembly. And Professor Davidson delivered his lecture, and when he had finished the lecture, there was a pause. And he said to us, "Ladies and gentlemen, if you were listening carefully to what I had to say, you will understand that I do not believe that everything in the Bible can be taken as absolute truth." There were something like 40 students in the room. about five or six of them got to their feet and protested very loudly that one could not condemn in any sense the scriptures. And they left the room. And they never came back to any other lecture. We have to understand what scripture is. It is a whole host of things. And we have to read it. And we should read it with a commentary to get the understanding of those who are experts in the field. Opposition, says Jesus, will come from the state. Opposition, says Jesus, will come from the church. And he said, perhaps the greatest and most powerful opposition that you will have to face will come from your own family. Harsh thought, but how often do you find some truth in that statement? When a son says to you, Dad, I know what you believe, I don't believe at all, and has not been in a church in any regular way since he was 15. Opposition like that can be very devastating, and you must overcome it. The church stands for a great deal of good. It stands for a great deal of strength to be put in to our moral way of living. Who would say today that the church stands up for the moral way of living that God would ask us to keep? And so you have the situation that Jesus says, yes, you are my disciples. Yes, you will have the Holy Spirit to help you. Yes, I want you. I desire you to go out into the world to show people how to live, to tell them about their Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. A long, long time ago, Latimer, the Archbishop at the time of Canterbury, was to be preaching in front of Henry VIII. He knew that he was going to say something that the king would not like to hear. So in the pulpit, as if he was talking to himself, he said, Latimer, 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 be careful what you say. Henry the King is here. And then, just a little later, Latimer, 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 be careful what you say. The King of Kings is here. And, says Jesus, be careful that you don't try to water down the message just because of the power of kings, or indeed commoners, who might put your body to death. Remember, we are body and soul. Remember, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to where I am. And so don't be disloyal to the king. Appropriate at this time of a new monarchy, when people are giving their allegiance, that you and I have given our allegiance to the King of Kings. Don't be disloyal to the truth. And in giving that warning, Jesus says again, don't be afraid to fight the good fight, because you are under God's protection, even as the sparrows are. And that message was there for the Jews, as it was for us this morning in the 136th Psalm, where the psalmist recalls the power of God in creation. God the Creator. The power of God in history. He has been in the history of our planet. The psalmist praises God's eternal love. And he says, God is not only the one who frees us from our enemies, but he is the one who provides us with our daily bread. And after each thought, he says with a powerful conviction and a loud voice, his love is eternal. And that being so, of whom and of what should we be afraid of? And the answer is not a thing. May God bless to us the preaching of his word.